That's what I'm going to be talking about today, is the art ants that march. And the tickier ants are Termitopone. But before getting into those, I want to dedicate this to Roy Snelling, who is a wonderful colleague, a tremendous aculeatus, not just ants, but wasps and bees. And I'm sure Roy would have enjoyed this kind of a talk, and I would have loved to have been able to have him appreciate it. So who I'm dealing with is Termitopone commutata. It's a large, used to be called Pachycondyla. And to get rid of that nomenclature, for many years it was Termitopone. And then Brown moved it to Pachycondyla. And he did it in an obscure table without much of a comment. And he did it basically on this very truncate petiole, which is characteristic of Pachycondyla, and on these very kind of wedge-shaped mandibles, kind of generalized features. And that became the basis for lumping everything. Well, Bolton agreed. And so he provided arguments, though. And so it became Pachycondyla. Well, now it appears it's closer to Neoponera, which is another one of those many Pachycondylane type lineages, which was sunk into Pachycondyla, and is not published yet. Chris Schmidt has genetic data, and he's not related to me, that provides that. So since this status is not finalized, I will unapologetically call this thing Termitopone, because I think that describes what it's doing. It's a termite hunter. And here it is, a wonderful beast. It's a huge ant. You know, we're used to kind of little dinky ants, but this thing is 15 to 18 millimeters long, and it's an obligate predator of Syntermes. Syntermes are these ants that have these huge mandibles that kind of slash, and if you've ever been in the neotropics and you get one between your fingers, they can actually draw blood. So they're pretty impressive termites. And as you can see, they are rather formidable, you know, kind of a big load for the Termitopone to handle. So what happens is the scouts go out, they locate a colony of the termite prey, and then it leads a raiding party. They leave a pheromone trail, and a raiding party comes out, and they sting and paralyze both soldiers and workers. And then they return in the column with the prey. So that's basically their biology. And their stingers are used for defense against large predators. So in addition to stinging prey, like us. And the stings hurt a lot. Unfortunately, I found out that you can't work with these things without getting stung if you're going to do anything invasive to them. They're very sticky-footed, very fast, very sharp stingers, and they will get you, and they do get your attention. And in fact, they were so good that the Kaiapoor used them in initiation ceremonies, and they attached a string of these ants, these Termitopone commutata, around the female initiate's forehead. And you think, well, this is kind of interesting as a female. I'm hoping it was because they were a little bit compassionate. Because for some of the males, they used paraponera, and they didn't use things, they put gloves on. But anyway, so it was used in the ceremonies because of the sting and such. So okay, the study area. This is kind of a rainforest in northeastern Brazil. It's pretty much what it looks like. There's our friend the ant. And what happened was there was a massive raiding column. It stretched 5 or 6 meters. And it was like 4 or 5 ants across, several hundred ants. And this raiding colony went 82 meters, which is pretty much a world record for anything in Termitopone. Got this termite colony, raided them, and then brought them all back. And then another thing is they go out as one big mob, a slug, so to speak. They catch their termites, and they come back as this slug, which is different from some other raiding ants, the two army ants, for example. They have big action both ways. So I censused the entire population and divided it into 3 different behavioral castes. So here's the colony after the destruction was done. And the jar was full of what I called the nest ants. That was one of the categories that I had. So the mound was about 5 centimeter inconspicuous mound. It would get washed away with each rain. There are numerous entrances. They didn't have much of an obvious demarcation of mound. The nest was huge, 1.5 to 1.75 meters. And there are lots of chambers, mostly very superficial, and some were in the soil area and some were in the humic area. And I excavated the entire colony, as I mentioned, and categorized them into 4 categories. Alates, pretty self-evident, winged females in this case, raiders. Those were the individuals in this raiding party who gone out and actually paralyzed termites. The defenders, now that was anybody who was digging would come boiling out and try to sting me. So it was pretty clear what they were. And the nest workers were anybody who didn't try to come out and sting me. They were ones that I'd have to take the shovel and dump it out, and they would try to hide and run away. They would never try to attack me. So very discreet behavioral difference. And so those are the categories. Here's the populations of them. You can see about 970 total. We actually got a few males too. Males are very rare in this species. They were unheard of until fairly recently. And lots of alates, which was good. So the worker caste specialization in the numbers, the nest workers were the most. Then we had the raiders and defenders. Now I had to put them together there because if you tried to collect all the raiders, you would disrupt their behavior such that. So I had to kind of go with the back like a little bird and kind of pick up the ones in the end because they'll disperse. And so I got enough for a sample. So that's why I have that gray indistinct. This is my estimate of 100 to 150, fairly large number. So why would venom have anything to do with caste specialization? And because venom is crucial for two main tasks, defense and prey capture. And that's absolutely crucial to both of those. So defense, we look at the lethality to predators, that's defense, and mice is the model predator. Micrograms of venom, 95% confidence intervals, and you can see that the LD50s are the same. You know, for raiders, defenders, nest workers. Alates is less. Now, alates, you might argue, well, they don't really defend themselves except on a nuptial flight. They perhaps have to. And so you can see why there might be a difference. But the big difference is look at the amount of venom that you get per ant. The raiders have enormous amount, almost twice as much as the defenders, who have quite a bit more than the nest workers, and the alates have very little. So then with this, you can get a lethal capacity, which is a measure of killing power. In other words, how good is this defense? You know, how much damage can it do to somebody who's trying to attack them? And so if you do this, and then you can see on the raiders, if we normalize it, say the alates is 1, nest workers are 4 times, the defenders go up to about 6, and the raiders are almost 12. So you can see the raiders are adapted much better for defending. They have a lot more venom, and they can really deliver the punch a lot more. And so that was what was going on with the defense. And so now prey capture, you can see this is cockroaches are basically primitive termites. Termites are now a family of cockroaches. So that was handy. I had a good model animal. And you can do a paralytic 50% ED50. And you can see there's not a whole lot of difference. I do have a little bit of LD50, and in spite of that being big, it's not really significant, so I didn't put any error bars on there. So there's not much of a difference in the venom. So the venom seems to be the same in all these behavioral ones, but again, if you normalize it according to how much they have, you see that in this case, it continues to go up, that the raiders clearly have much higher paralytic capacity. So they're much better adapted for catching termites than say the defenders or the nest workers or the alates. So then in summary, what we can say is that the termitopone commutata does have distinct worker caste task specialists, at least 3, and these are for raiding, colony defense, and performing nest duties, and the different worker caste specialists have venom quantities that are consistent with these behavioral needs for each caste, and that physiology and behavior of the species appear closely linked. That is, individuals best physiologically designed, suited for a task, seem to perform that task. So thank you. I don't know if we have any time.
There are 2 minutes.
Oh, good.
Questions?
Yeah.
Can you determine morphologically what is
No, that was one of the sad things. These things are monomorphic, so there's no polymorphism morphologically at all. And you can tell a little bit with the degree of sclerotization. You know, the nest workers would sometimes be younger and softer, so they would obviously not be very well adapted for, you know, foraging out. But I couldn't determine anything that I could just visually see other than, oops, they're doing that. And that was the only
venom
thing.
Venom sac enlargement.
The venom sac would be very full in the raiders, and the defenders, it would be kind of sort of foolish but crinkly, and in the nest ones often it was semi-collapsed, and in the alates it was very much more collapsed. So I think Sam for that?
Yeah, I assume that there's probably an H polyethism where they
I think you probably are correct there. I don't know. But that would be my assumption that it probably is age, that the raiders are probably the ones that are more mature and closer to being dying anyway, because it's risky. Sometimes the termite does you in, and so it is a risky behavior.
Is it single queen or multi-queen?
They actually can have several queens in this species. I think I had about four that had eggs in this particular colony. So yeah, that's...